Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. My name's Matt. I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere. You know, Crossroads is one church in multiple locations, all over the world, in fact. And we get to be connected every week through a message like the one you're about to hear. We're going to continue in our series called Beyond, where we're connecting into the power that God gives us when we're in relationship with Him. And it's going to be great. We're glad you're here.
Sing a couple of songs to God that are true about who He is, and we'd love for you to join us if you will. Here we go. When we hear Your voice,
when we hear Your voice, when You call us out to the unknown, uncertain, call to mind Your righteous faithfulness to Your people, Your creation.
We'll look to You.
We will look to You, the author, author of our lives.
Whatever.
Whatever needs in You will be a plan.
earth.
Let's sing it to God.
We will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creator.
God, we will look to you.
We will look to you. Where the road will lead, we are empty, we are broken. And when the enemy is strong and there seems nowhere to run, we will trust you, you are with us.
We will look to you.
We will look to you.
We will look to you.
Author of our lives.
We will look to you.
Never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let.
is holding on to me. God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on.
You are love.
accepting worship from us, God. You must be so merciful just to let us sing to you and to approach you, just to sing songs to you. Thank you for commanding us to sing songs to you. I'm so glad to know who you are, to know what you're like. I pray that this next hour you'd reveal more to us about what you're like. We want to hear it. We have open hearts toward you. Amen. Hey, thanks for doing that. You guys are great. Okay, you don't have to share life stories or anything, but we'd like for you to trade names with somebody around you that you do not know. Just trade names with them. Then you can have a seat.
One of two men wanted for a beating.
One woman fighting for her life.
An epidemic. Police.
Oxycodone overdose death.
This place is pretty much still on lockdown.
Targeted a building up the street.
These are boys across the
line.
Easter is going to be epic. We are really excited about this. I've been working on it for months. This is a brand new Easter experience, and it's going to be unlike anything you've ever experienced before. And we want to make sure you make a plan to be there, to hear it, to see it, to experience everything that it's going to be. And so you can go to crossroads.net/Easter and see that we have special service times, more service times than ever before. Thursday through Sunday, Easter weekend. And so I also want you to think about hosting people in your home and creating an Easter gathering, an Easter experience for other people. It's super easy to do. Go to the website, pick a time, invite your friends, and be the hero. No kidding. You know, you can be the hero of your family, of your neighborhood. I think you're going to provide people with the activity on Easter weekend that they are never going to forget, and it's going to create conversation all week long, and it's going to be incredible. So go to crossroads.net/Easter and start making that plan today. You know, Crossroads is entrepreneurial. We like making new things all the time. And a couple of years ago, we had an opportunity to help start Ocean Accelerator. Ocean Accelerator is a faith-based business accelerator. It's the only one of its kind in the world where people with ideas for startups, for new companies, come in and get trained in both business and faith. And this is the third year now, and as they go through the program, they graduate and have a demo day. This is where they come and pitch Shark Tank style their concepts, the progress they've made, the potential that they can bring to the economy and the world to potential investors. And investors get to choose whether or not to invest in them. It's incredibly exciting and encouraging for us and our church community who invest and helps build into this accelerator. And so you're invited to Demo Day here in just a couple of weeks. You can get all the information at oceanaccelerator.com. The tickets are free and you can stream it online. So no matter where you are, the hope this year for Ocean is that this is the most live streamed demo day of any accelerator in the country ever. And so we're excited to help make that happen with them. And it's an encouraging thing that you should do as well. You know, on another entrepreneurial thing that we do around Crossroads, a couple of years ago, we started and created the Crossroads Anywhere app. I hope you have the Crossroads Anywhere app. If you don't, go to the App Store right now, search Crossroads Anywhere and download it. It is great. It's a way for all of us to stay connected in with Crossroads and connect to God all week long. You might have done the journey through the app. I hope that was a great experience for you. That's the original reason years ago we created it. And as you are completing the journey, I want you to think about how you might keep using the app to keep connecting to God. You know, one of the things that is in there is called Today. It's an experience that's meant to help you create a habit every day where you can go in and over the course of 5, 7, 8 minutes, connect with God. We provide a bunch of different activities that help you think differently, help you read scripture, help you worship, help you pray, and make all those really fun to do. You can also watch The Weeknd in the app. You can watch it live. You can go back and watch on-demand services. There's things in the app for your group to do. You can give in the app. The app is awesome. And so we're going to keep making the app better. That's part of it being an entrepreneurial venture for us. And so keep going back to the app and see all the changes that are in there. And we're going to have time now where we are going to give. There's a team of us around here who give to make all of these things happen. Ocean, the app, the journey, the series that we're a part of, Easter experience in a couple of weeks. And if you want to be a part of that team, you can go to crossroads.net/give and begin a recurring gift, or you can do a one-time gift. And if you're brand new and you're checking us out and trying to feel this out, we're really just glad you're here, and we're going to keep going in our Beyond series, which we're excited for you to experience.
Hey, this is Brian. Man, I would love to be at a crossroads, a traditional crossroads site this weekend, but I can't because I'm at couples camp. Yes, I'm at couples camp speaking right now with my little walking miracle wife, Libby, who has recovered from a stroke. Amazing, crazy, crazy. I can't wait to get into that next weekend. It's going to be part of what the supernatural, what the beyond stuff is. So this week, us being out, we thought, who could we really bring in that would do a massive, massive blessing to anybody who's in earshot of Crossroads? And that person is here today. His name is Paul McConaughey. He's from England. England, mate. Aye, throw another shrimp on the barbie. Bond, James Bond. Yes, he's got an amazing English accent that you will utterly love. But I'll tell you what I love. I love his walk with God. I love the intensity in which he knows God. I know the stories from how God has gotten into his life and worked through his life that are downright beyond the norm. So you're going to enjoy my good friend Paul McConaughey. Please welcome him to Crossroads right now. No matter where you are, no matter what site. In fact, even if you're Crossroads anywhere right now, if you're in Tucson, Arizona, put it together for Paul McConaughey. Woo!
Thank you, guys, and thank you, Brian, for that wonderful introduction. Although I've got to say, shrimp on the barbie, that's Australian, not English. So, mind you, he did pretty well, because usually when I get introduced as English, people mention Downton Abbey, so I was quite pleased he didn't do that, so that was good. So, my name's Paul. It's great to be with you. I've been doing things with the Crossroads team here for a number of years. I'm based out of Fort Wayne in Indiana at the moment. I led a church in the UK for a number of years that we saw quite a lot of breakthrough, particularly in the areas of helping everyday people to really engage with community and mission and discipleship. And I now lead an organization called 3DM in the US, where we work with other churches across the country, really helping them to do those things. So it's a privilege to be here with you today. And we're going to carry on with this Beyond series. And I think this short series that you're doing is a really important one in the life of Crossroads, because it's an opportunity to step much deeper into some of the things of God than perhaps you've gone before. Just to recap from Chuck last week, for any of you that weren't with us, he was really teaching us about who the Holy Spirit is, that Jesus, when he was on earth, before he went back up to heaven, one of the things that he said was, I'm going to send the Spirit to come and be with you and to guide you and to teach you everything that you need to know. And the Bible elsewhere also tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So, you know, you and I, we've got a body, and we've got a spirit inside our body, and so's Jesus. But he sent his Spirit to be with us, and when we say yes to him, his Spirit comes and lives in us. But not just to kind of help us to know God personally, but also to work supernaturally in our lives in a number of ways. And so we're going to think about that a little bit today. And I'm going to tell you a bit about my story and the journey that I've been on to engage with the supernatural things of God, and then tell you a few other stories about some of the things God's done in the church that I've led and in some of the things that are going on today. So that's the kind of agenda for us for this morning. And I want to start by just thinking about how the Holy Spirit comes and changes lives. And really, this was how I became a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were fairly conservative Baptists. Baptists in England are perhaps not quite the same as Baptists in America. It's a slightly different thing. But nevertheless, you know, we didn't get a TV till I was 10. I remember sneaking around to my friend's house when I was a kid to watch The Bionic Man on their TV, you know. I went to Sunday school, learned about the Bible, learned about Jesus, learned all that stuff, had great parents who loved me and tried to raise me in those things. But I gradually became more and more kind of disillusioned, didn't really want to follow God. I didn't really like the implications of following God. You know, if I was going to follow God, there were all sorts of things I wanted to do that I didn't think I'd be able to do. So as a teenager, I began to kind of fall away. And I remember my parents said to me, they were trying to recognize that I was getting older. They said, look, Paul, you have to come to church with us every week until you're 14. Once you're 14, we'll let you make your own decision. And we'll still ask you to come back to church maybe once or twice a year. But if you don't want to come, then we'll have to respect that. And so from my 14th birthday, that was it. I stopped going to church. And I remember quite enjoying being able to stay in bed on a Sunday morning when the rest of the family went off to church. And this was the 1980s, and so my heart was being drawn out after the things of the 80s, and together with some of my friends, I formed a 1980s heavy metal band. I know, when you were looking at me, you weren't thinking metal, were you? You were thinking reggae, weren't you? That's, yeah. I tried to grow my hair long, but it just wouldn't grow long. It just grew big, so in the end, I was a short-haired rocker. But that was going on for me, and my parents were continuing to worship God and continuing to press into their faith. And then one day at my parents' church, the pastor invited a visiting speaker from the United States, in fact. And I don't think that the pastor of the church quite knew what he'd invited into his church, but this guy came and he was speaking about the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And this was the first time anyone in our church had ever thought about this. We'd heard about God doing miraculous things, perhaps, but it was always in the context of hearing about God doing these things somewhere else, like, you know, with missionaries in Africa or in South America. You'd never expect God to do supernatural things in our own backyard. And so this guy came and he talked about the kind of things that God would do. He talked about God speaking to people through the Holy Spirit, doing healing people and doing things like that. And then at the end of the talk, he said, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit in a fresh way today, then I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and fill you. So he did that. And my mum was quite excited about that. She thought, well, I'll do that. So she stood up and he said, just stand up and hold your hands out to receive whatever God wants to give to you. I think my dad also stood up, but my guess is he probably kept his hands in his pockets. And there were lots of people in the church that kept their butts firmly welded to the seats, yeah? Just thinking, well, let's just watch what happens here. So that happened, and he prayed, and he asked the Holy Spirit to come. And a couple of strange things happened. Few people started to kind of wobble around a bit, and that people thinking, are they okay? And then a couple of folks actually kind of either sat down very quickly or fell over. And some of the other folks were looking at them and thinking, are they okay? Do we need to get a doctor? What's going on? And to be honest, it caused a bit of division in the church. There were some members of the church that were saying, well, I don't think this was God. I think it was just some weird thing that was going on. There were other people saying, yeah, God was really moving and doing something. And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing for this little kind of traditional Baptist church to work out what was going on. But my mum, she stood up. She said, yes, God, whatever you've got, I want whatever you've got. And as far as she was concerned, that evening, nothing happened. She just stood there for a while. He finished praying. She put her hands back down, came home. But actually what God had done was something that was transformative. And you need to know something about my mum's background to understand how important this was for her. She grew up in the East End of London, you know, all right, Governor, Cockney, you know, that kind of area. And she had quite a poor upbringing. When she was nine, her mother, who had bipolar disorder, committed suicide. So she's left without a mother. And then her father married a stepmother who was not very kind to her. And then when she was 21, her father also committed suicide. So she'd lost both of her parents. So you can imagine, I mean, what a burden that is for somebody to carry. And the way that expressed itself for us when we were young, that had happened to her when she was 21. She'd had me, I was born when she was 25. So this was still relatively recent. And basically, I think she had what nowadays, we didn't really have these terms in the 70s, but I think now they'd call it clinical depression. And she basically was just numb. She didn't really have, you know, times where she felt happy or times where she felt particularly sad. She just felt a bit depressed all the time. She was really great as a mother. She didn't allow that to affect her parenting. She still hugged us, told us that she loved us, all those things. But we all knew that Mum basically was down most of the time, and not surprisingly. Well, she'd had this thing where she'd said, yes, God, nothing seemed to happen. She went to bed that night, and she woke up the following morning, and she said to my dad, this is very strange. For the first time for years, I feel happy. And, you know, as she thought about it, and she described it later, she said, I realized it wasn't happiness, because happiness is dependent on our circumstances, isn't it? You know, when life's going well, you're happy. When life's going badly, you're unhappy. This was different. This was independent of whether she had a good day or a bad day. So she said, perhaps it's not happiness, it's joy. It's interesting because the Bible talks about that as being one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. So she had this joy, and the joy didn't just kind of rest in her, but over the next few weeks, it just grew. Every day, she had more joy than the day before. For me, as a rebellious teenager, kind of watching from a distance, I just noticed that some things were changing. So I noticed that she was smiling much more easily and laughing, that she was hugging us spontaneously, not just because she should, because she's our mum, you know? And I also noticed she always used to have talk radio on in the house all the time, and now it wasn't talk radio, now there was worship music on. And from my point of view, as a 1980s rocker, it was 1980s contemporary worship music. You know, it wasn't really what I wanted on in the house, but I knew something was happening. And she talked to me later about it, about this experience, and she said that the joy kept on increasing and kept on increasing and kept on increasing until she got to the point where she had to ask God to stop, because she said, if you don't stop, God, I'm going to die of joy. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what? Can you imagine dying of joy? Wouldn't that be cool? I guess. Yeah? And you know, after a while, that experience came to an end, but she was never the same again, because what God had done, he'd done a deep healing in her. That the kind of different drugs couldn't help her. She could go and she could have counseling, and that didn't seem to help her. But God did something supernaturally through his Holy Spirit. And so that started me on a journey back towards God, because I couldn't deny that God was real. I'd seen my mum, and I'd seen that she'd changed because God was working in her. It reminds me now of this passage from Acts 4:13, where the ruling council had taken Peter and John and some of the others into prison because they were preaching things they didn't like. But it talks about them noticing what was going on in them. This is Acts 4:13. It says this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Do you know, this passage for some reason makes me think of Brian Tome. Because I actually think he's an ordinary guy that God's doing extraordinary things in. And I think God wants to do extraordinary things in you too. When he saw that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And that's what it felt like for me. I could see my mum. I know Jesus wasn't physically there in our house. He wasn't there as a, you know, in flesh and blood. But his spirit was there. And I could see that my mum had been with him. And so I went on this journey. It took me a couple of years. I started to kind of change the way I felt about God. I began to realize that God was real. And when I was kind of just turning 18, I made that decision that I was going to follow God. I'm so glad I did that before I went to college, because it stopped me getting into all sorts of trouble, I think, that I would have got into otherwise. But the reason that I made the decision was not because I grew up in a Christian family and I'd heard the Bible lots of times. It wasn't because somebody had presented me with a convincing argument and so I decided to believe God until someone else came and gave me a better argument. It wasn't because I just came from a group of people that thought that if you're going to live a good life that you should follow God. It wasn't any of those things. Instead, it was because I'd seen the power of God at work. And there's another passage which I think really speaks to that. Just lost it in my notes. Isn't it great when your notes just switch off partway through your teaching? There we go. It would never happen if you used paper, would it? So this is 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. It says this: "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." I have a strong faith now, and the reason that I have a strong faith is because my faith wasn't based on arguments. It was based on seeing God at work. And once I've seen God at work in people's lives, I know that God's real. And since then, I've seen him work in my own life. So the Holy Spirit is changing lives. And then as I began to carry on walking with God, and I'd set out in my life as a Christian now, went to college, met some other people who followed Jesus, I began to realize that there's another thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do. He doesn't just want to change your life. When he comes into your life, he wants to communicate with you. This first hit me. I had a friend, I'll call him Steve, and this friend of mine, he came from a kind of more Pentecostal background than me, and he used to say that God had said stuff to him, and it used to really annoy me. He'd say, "Hey, I was praying the other day, and God told me how much he loved me." And I'm like, "Mate, Steve, what you mean is you had the thought that God loved you. That's great. It's a good thought. That doesn't mean that God spoke to you." And I used to say to him things like, "If you want to know what God says, just read the Bible. It's in there. Anytime that you want to say anything that God said, just read out the Bible. It's all been done." And, I thought I had quite a good argument, and I'm disagreeing with him. And then one day, he came to me and he said, "Paul, I was praying for you this morning, and I felt that God showed me something that's going on in your life, and that he wanted me to pray for you." And I said, "Well, what's that then?" And he told me some things that were going on in my life that nobody knew except me and God. And so that blew my argument out of the water, didn't it? So then I thought, gosh, if God actually can communicate with us, if the Holy Spirit does communicate with us today, I thought, well, God, I want that too. Don't just talk to Steve, I want you to talk to me. And so that started me on a journey, really, of trying to seek God. And what I found was that as I was trying to listen to God, the first way that I realized God was communicating with me was through my conscience. Now, we've all got a conscience, whether you know Jesus or not. You know, you feel bad when you do bad things, you feel good when you do good things. But those of us here who've invited the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, who've said yes to Jesus, I don't know whether you've noticed this, but I noticed that my conscience actually kind of changed when I said yes to God. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit kind of tweaked it and kind of changed it around a bit. And some things that I didn't used to think were bad, now I realize that they were. And some things I used to think were fine and good, I realized that they perhaps weren't good or whatever. And I began to realize that one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he begins to speak to you in that kind of in your heart through your conscience. And I was reading a passage one Sunday morning, and the passage was Colossians 3:15. I was just at home, and I just read it, and it said this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful." And I just read that passage, and the word "rule" just kind of came out to me. It really impacted me. I thought, that's weird. Why would I really be impacted by the word "rule"? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And so I was thinking about that and just mulling it over. And then I went to church. It was a Sunday. And this was totally a God coincidence. The pastor happened to be preaching on exactly the same passage. And so he explained about the passage. And he said this: that the letter was originally written in Greek. And if you look at what the word originally said, you could translate the word as "rule," but you could also translate the word as "referee." He said, what this really is saying is, let the peace of Christ referee in your heart. Let it blow the whistle on what you do and what you don't do. Let it define your actions. And so as I realized that, I thought, Well, if that's the case, and if that's the first way that God wants to communicate with me, I'll do that. I'll listen to the peace in my heart, and anything that gives me more peace, I'll just keep doing it. And anything that takes my peace away, anytime my peace seems to go, I'll step back from that and I'll stop doing that. And I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I'm going to have a go, Lord. I want to learn how to hear you, so I'm going to try to let you guide me by listening to the peace. So I was doing that, and I'm trying to be sensitive and responsive. And at that time, I was a single guy sharing a house with two other friends who are single guys. We were all high school teachers, so we worked hard during the week, and then we kind of kicked back and relaxed at the weekend. And we did at the weekend what young people in England always do, which is we went to the pub, and we sat in the pub and chatted and, you know, drank warm beer, which is what English people tend to do. And then we generally, most Friday nights, we'd get a big bucket of chicken each, and we'd go back home, and we'd watch guy movies. I think this was the early 90s, so it was probably like Schwarzenegger movies or whatever. And we'd sit and watch guy movies together and eat our chicken. And we'd probably do that till 1 or 2 in the morning, you know, have a few more beers, and then go to bed. And we didn't have to get up the next day, so maybe get up at 12 or 1 o'clock. And that was just my way of relaxing with my friends. And so I'm listening to the peace of Christ, and I realized that once we got to about 10:30, 11, the peace began to just pull back. And I didn't have as much peace as I did at 9:30. I'm thinking, are you telling me I need to go to bed, Lord? And it's like a weird thing. And then I noticed with the chicken, there was a thing going on too. You know, like one piece of chicken, fine. Two, three, four. If I'm really honest, perhaps I don't feel quite as peaceful about number four. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, it was a bit frustrating because I'm thinking, you know, I've come to know you, God. I've understood your grace. You've had mercy on me. You've adopted me to be your son. And now the creator and king of the whole universe is communicating with me. It's amazing. And what are you saying? Eat less fried chicken and go to bed on time. Thanks, you know? But here was the weird thing. There was an effect of that I hadn't expected, which was this. I went to bed earlier. My friends made fun of me and called me a lightweight. But I went to bed. And then I found that because I'd gone to bed earlier, I woke up earlier the next morning. And I'd wake up maybe about 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. And over the next couple of years, those Saturday mornings became really precious times with God. I'd go downstairs, I'd do what all English people do first thing in the morning, which is I went downstairs, made myself a cup of tea, took my cup of tea up, sat in bed, and read the Bible and prayed and spent time with God. And it was a time where he was teaching me lots of things about him, really helping me to go deeper in my relationship with him. And it was really a wonderful time. And it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have been listening to him when he told me to go to bed earlier. So he wants to communicate with you so that you begin to see the transformation that he wants in your life accelerate, and he wants you to grow in your relationship with him, and the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll grow you in your relationship with God, and he'll begin to make you. The Bible says that one of his jobs is to make you more like Jesus. Now, I'm not a lot like Jesus, but I'm more like Jesus than I was. But you know, it doesn't just stop there. And as I was trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, he began to lead me into some other things too. On those Saturday mornings, one of the things I was reading, I was reading through the New Testament, and I found a passage in 1 Corinthians 14. And I didn't quite know what it meant, but this is what it says. It says this, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, "Follow the way of love," well, that kind of makes sense, "and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit." Now, as I looked at in the Bible at what gifts of the Spirit are, that means supernatural gifts. Eagerly desire supernatural gifts. And then it says, especially prophecy. So what's prophecy? Well, prophecy is hearing the Lord. I was already learning how to hear the Lord. But prophecy isn't hearing the Lord for you. Prophecy is hearing the Lord for other people. I'm thinking, gosh, are you wanting to not just talk to me in a way, in that kind of still, small voice that begins to prompt me and help me to change, Lord? Are you actually wanting to sometimes say things to me for other people? I mean, that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? Whole different ballgame. Especially if you're a reserved Englishman who doesn't really like talking to people that he doesn't know. Yeah? In fact, in England, you know, talking to people that you don't know is kind of taboo. One of the things I've loved about coming and living in America is Americans will talk to you wherever you are and whoever you are, yeah? If you stand next to Americans in a line, they'll turn around and start talking to you. It's great. You know, you sit next to somebody on a bus, they'll start talking to you. English people just nod politely, yeah? Except the only times you're allowed to talk to people in England who you don't know is if they've got a dog. That's okay, because you can stroke the dog and talk about it. If they've got a camera, you're allowed to ask them if they want you to take a picture of them. And if they've got a baby, you're allowed to say how cute the baby is. That's about it. That's the only interaction, yeah? You certainly don't say, excuse me, I think God said something to me for you. That really would not go down well, yeah? And can I just put a warning in here? It's like, you know, there's a real health warning here. It's like, woo! Alarms, flashing lights, there's a big warning. If you as a church here in Crossroads are going to begin to go down the journey of learning to hear God, not just for yourselves but for each other, you have to tread very carefully. The church is littered with people who have been put off God, who have felt disillusioned and hurt, and who've been damaged by people claiming that God is saying things to them and using it to manipulate people and to get their opinion set aired and just say what they want to say, yeah? This is not about trying to somehow get some sort of power over people or to just start acting weirdly. This is about a genuine desire. Notice in that passage where it said, eagerly desire prophecy, it said, follow the way of love, yeah? So what does that mean? It means that as we begin to step out into these new waters, as we go beyond what we know and we start to listen to God for each other, we have to share what we think God's saying humbly. One of the rules of thumb that we had in my church was we said, authenticity, not drama. So it's like, if you think that God, so for example, you're praying for somebody, and as you're praying for them, you just get this feeling that just keeps coming to you that there's a real feeling of like having been abandoned. And you're thinking, is that just me? Or is that God's actually showing me something that's going on in that person I'm praying for that would help me to pray for them? Yeah? That's prophecy. At that point, you've got a choice. You could go down the drama route. You could say, the Lord saith to you, you have a spirit of abandonment. Yeah? I mean, how would you feel? I wouldn't feel great. Yeah? Or you could just say, do you know, this is really weird, as we're praying, I just got this real feeling like I've been abandoned. And I don't know whether that was the pizza I had last night or whether that was just me, but could that be God saying something? Does that make any sense to you? I assure you, if that is going on in that person's life, they will know that that's God. You don't have to convince them. Yeah? So we have to be humble as we go down this route, and we have to remember that the Bible has guidelines for us as well. So if you honestly, with all your heart, believe that God has told you it's time to leave your wife and kids and go and chase your own dream, I assure you that you're wrong. Yeah? Because the Bible's clear. God would not say that to you. So we have to have some safeguards in place. But what does the Bible say? Eagerly desire prophecy. Eagerly desire to hear God for yourself, but also for other people. I had an experience of this the other day. When I first started doing this, it was like really basic stuff, just getting a feeling I should pray for someone. So just that same prompting that I would have that says, don't eat too much fried chicken, would also say, go and pray for somebody. So I'd just go up and say, do you mind, would you mind if I pray with you? So it started like that, but I've been on this journey now for a number of years, and now sometimes God says quite clear things to me. I was on a plane back from San Francisco to Indiana a few months ago, and when I'm on a plane, I don't really want to have conversations with people particularly. I'm an introvert. I've usually been on the road. I've usually been speaking lots. What I want to do is read my book. I'm not one of those in-your-face Yahoo evangelist-type Christians that's always looking on the plane to bring the person next to them to the Lord. I'm just hoping the person next to me just doesn't talk to me much so I can read my book. Yeah? So I sit down and do the normal kind of friendly grin at the people. Hi. Put my headphones in, make it clear that I'm in my zone. And then as I glanced across at them, it seemed to be like a middle-aged couple, maybe late 50s, something like that. And as I looked at them, this thought went through my head. I want you to tell them, this is the thought, it's just a thought, but this is what it was. I want you to tell them that the person that they've recently lost is with me in heaven in the house that I built for them, and that we're having a great time together, and that together we're building the house for them so that when they finally come, they're going to have a place with us, and we're looking forward to it. I mean, what do you do with that, yeah? This thought goes through my head. I'm like, The actual response, you know, I had a very godly response. It was, you've got to be joking me, God. There's no way I'm going to say that. You can't talk about bereavement to total strangers you don't know. What if I'm wrong? It's just terrible, yeah? So, you know, I did what you know, many of us would do, I guess, and just, you know, carried on reading my novel and turned the music up, you know? Maybe if I turned the music up, he won't say anything to me. But I hoped that the feeling would go away, but it didn't go away. In fact, it got more. And it got to the point where I knew that God wanted me to say this. And I might be wrong, and if I'm wrong, then I just look foolish, but that's okay. So what I did was, I had a little plan. I thought, I'll wait till the plane lands, because then, if I've got it wrong, I only have to stand embarrassed next to them for about 30 seconds before we go our separate ways. So as the plane landed, I put on my best kind of inoffensive English voice and said, excuse me, this might sound a little strange, but I'm a Christian, and I follow Jesus, and sometimes I feel as if God reveals certain things to me, and they might be wrong, but I thought maybe he showed me something for you. Do you mind if I share it with you? And she just looked at me and smiled, and she just said, I believe in the Lord, that's fine, what do you want to say? So I thought, okay, well, that's a start. And I shared that word. I just said that to her, and she immediately started crying. And she said, this is my brother, we're not a couple, this is my brother. Neither of us have ever got married. We've lived together with our mum all our lives, been a really happy family. She died 3 weeks ago. And after the funeral, we were so cut up that my brother and I decided to take a week's retreat, and we're just coming home for our week's retreat, she said. And now you're telling me that my mum is happy with Jesus and that she's getting the house ready for when we finally join you. She said, I never knew that God could speak like that. Isn't that amazing? So she was encouraged, you know, I was encouraged. To me, that's worth all the times I've got it wrong and just look stupid, you know? It's just worth it. What a difference that made to me and to her. So that's the kind of thing that we can do, and God wants to take us beyond our current experience and push us further. Here's a few ways that I found, you find in Scripture, but also I found with friends who are on this journey. I think there's about 7 different ways I've noticed that God talks. It's important when God communicates with us that you don't assume he's going to communicate with you exactly the same way that he communicates with someone else, because we're all different. We have different personalities. So here's 7 different ways I've noticed God communicates. First one would be through the Bible, so Scriptures. You read the Bible, something jumps out at you. When you read the Bible, don't just read it kind of because you think you ought to, but actually at the beginning, just say, God, I'm going to spend a bit of time reading your word now. I'd like you to talk to me. And just be aware of if the Lord wants to catch your attention on something. And if he does, take that little passage away and think about it. Maybe talk to some friends, maybe some other believers, some people who know Jesus, and just talk about it and see what God's saying. So that would be one thing. Another one would be the one I've just talked about, words and pictures in the mind, where you think a thought and you think, I don't think that's my thought. You know, it might be, but it feels kind of like that didn't come from me. So go with it, see what happens. Dreams are all the way through the Bible. And I've never really heard from God through a dream, but it's a very biblical thing, and I have a number of friends who God has clearly spoken to them through dreams. So if you're that kind of person, maybe keep a notepad by your bed, and if one time you wake up and it felt like a dream was particularly significant, you might want to just jot down some of those things so that you can think about it and remember it and talk to God about it. Coincidences. I had a friend he was a really great guy who was really liked investing in people, and 2 old school friends had reconnected with him, but he was very busy, and he was saying to God, I just want to know, Bob and Rich, my 2 friends, should I be putting time into that relationship or not, Lord? I don't have much time to invest. Should I be investing in both of them, either of them, just be friendly and go my own way? What should I do? And he's on the freeway while he's doing this. He's driving. And he was praying while he was driving with his eyes open. If you shut your eyes, you'll meet God much quicker than you thought you were going to. So he's driving, and as he's saying that, he's praying about Bob and Rich, 2 trucks overtake him, one on each side, at exactly the same time, and the one on the right-hand side, the license plate says Bob, and on the left-hand side, the back of the truck has got Rich written on it, yeah, as part of the marketing, yeah? He's like, you've got to be joking, Lord. Bob and Rich. He said, he thought, I'll try this out. He said he felt like he'd stepped into Bruce Almighty, the movie, you know. He said, I'll just ask you, God, you know, what are you saying? Are you saying that I should be investing in both of them? And he prayed that. And as soon as he prayed it, the one with Bob pulled back and disappeared, and the one with Rich stayed with him. You know, it dropped back behind him, and the other one stayed there. So he's like, are you saying that I'm supposed to be investing in Rich? And now, he didn't act just off that one thing, but he took it as maybe God might be saying that. So then he talked to some other friends and prayed about it, and he felt that God was, you know, with that inner feeling, was confirming that that's what he should do. And so he invested in Rich, and it turned out to be a really good thing for both of them. So that's interesting. Coincidences. Five senses. I've never heard God audibly, but I know people who have. And for those people, it often doesn't happen all the time, but just maybe once or twice in their lives. But I know that that can happen. So, you know, ask if that's something you'd like. Maybe it will happen with you. My wife, she always thought that she wasn't able to hear God because she didn't get the words and pictures in her mind like I do. And one day we had a worship leader staying with us, and he prayed for us when he left. He was kind of a worship leader who worked with churches all over the country. And he prayed for us. And my wife, Ellie, he said, Ellie, as I was praying, I just had this feeling that maybe God was showing me something for you. Can I share it with you? And she said, sure. And he said, I feel like God was showing me that you think that you can't hear him because you don't get these words and thoughts in your minds like Paul does. Is that right? And she was like, yeah, that's totally right. So that was kind of exciting. And then he said this, I think that God's showing me that you think you can't hear God, but you do. You just hear him differently. You hear him through your gut instinct. You just get this gut instinct about what you should do or what you shouldn't do. And he said, I think you're supposed to be listening to that. And you know, that was maybe 15 years ago now. That's helped Ellie so much. Over the years, as she's grown as a Christian, she's learned that that is exactly how God speaks to her. And she's learned to listen to the Holy Spirit that way. So maybe that's you. Another one that the Bible talks about is conviction. Conviction is a little bit like gut feeling, but it's more like a weight that settles on you. You just have this weight. You just feel like you have to do something. It's almost like there's an urgency that you have to do something about whatever it is. It may be about dealing with brokenness in your life and sin in your life, or it may be about going and talking to someone or something like that. So lots of different ways of communicating with God. If you want to go on this journey, it's worth asking God to show you, how do you want to talk to me, God? I just want to share a couple more stories because I want to give you a sense of how far you can go. And you can go way further than I have, but it's amazing when you start to experience God really communicating with you for yourself and for other people. It's amazing how much stronger it makes you in your faith and how much more confident you feel. This was one that happened to me. I was in a church meeting with my mum and a friend of my mum's. I'll call her Margaret. Her name's Susan, but I'll call her Margaret. Couldn't resist that one. But it was a prayer time, and I glanced across at her, and as I did, this thought went through my mind. The thought was this: tell Margaret, when I eat Smarties in heaven, I save the orange ones for her. Now, let me just be clear. We're not talking about your counterfeit American Smarties. We're talking about English Smarties here, okay? Yeah? Yours are probably the original ones, I don't know. But English Smarties are like, they're basically chocolate beans. They're like M&Ms, yeah? But the thing about them is, all of them are milk chocolate except for the orange ones, and the orange ones are orange chocolate. So kids always fight over the orange ones, yeah? And so I thought, oh, God, how can I say that to her? That's just nuts, yeah? But I'd learned by now to be brave, and the worst thing that can happen is I just look stupid, so that's okay. So I went up, and I just said, Margaret, you know, I wondered whether God would show me something. Can I share it with you? She said, sure. So I shared it, and she opened her mouth, and she said, who told you about me and Smarties? And I'm thinking, okay, that's a good sign. Yeah. And she said, when I was a kid, when I was really small, like under 5, my parents used to go out to the pub drinking every night and leave me on my own in the house, you know, neglectfully. And she said, my mum used to feel guilty about it, so she always used to give me a tube of Smarties. And she said, I've developed this compulsive behavior with these Smarties. I've never told anybody. What I used to do is I used to pour them all out, put the orange ones back in the tube first, and then put the others in, so that then I could offer them to people, to friends and things, but I always knew that I'd get the orange ones. Yeah? And she said, I'm now in my 60s, and to this very day, I have a tube of Smarties in my purse with the orange ones at the bottom. And now you're saying that God says when he opens a tube of Smarties in heaven, he saves the orange ones for me. Yeah? And I mean, can you imagine? Tears. And she was healed that day, and that compulsive behavior that had been with her for 50 years stopped that day. She never had to do it again. Isn't that amazing? Yeah? It's worth pressing into these things, isn't it? And here's the last one. And this isn't a personal story. This was some people in my church. But as we began to press into this stuff in the church, and we were very careful to have that humble, safe culture where no one's saying, oh, God definitely said this. We always said, use might and maybe. Maybe God said this. Do you think God might have said this? So we were very careful about it. But over the 10 years I was leading that church in Sheffield, we really grew as a church in this culture. And we got to the point where actually some visiting pastors would say to me, I can't believe it. People have just said things to me that they couldn't possibly know. It was a great culture to have. But one of the things that some of the more crazy people, it was mainly our youth group, started to do this, was they did a thing that they called treasure hunts. And it's a bit like, you know, youth will often do a treasure hunt. You know, you have your clues, you get in the car, you drive around, it's fun. But this was a prophetic treasure hunt. Yeah. So what they would do is they'd gather as a group of people and they would say, okay, God, give us some clues. And then they'd write down anything that came to mind, and then the treasure is a person, and they would get in the car and they'd drive off and look for that person, and if they found them, they'd you know, just share with them and try and pray for them, And this was something mainly our youth did, but there was a group of women, middle-aged women, who decided they wanted to have a go. And one of them, Sarah, was very, very shy. She'd been a Christian for 30 years. She'd never, ever talked about her faith to anybody. But she seemed to get a lot of these things when they prayed. And they asked God to show them things. And somebody said, I've got this name, Joan. And someone else said, I've got something about brown hair. And Sarah got a lot of these. She said something about a blue jacket and a brown skirt. And then someone got there's a famous department store in the UK called Marks and Spencer. And there was just one in the downtown area. Someone said, Marks and Spencer. I just see a picture of Marks and Spencer. And then someone else said, well, there's something about a broken relationship and a baby. So they wrote all this down on a sheet of paper. They got in the car. They said, well, let's just go and see. Can't do any harm. They drive downtown, go to Marks and Spencer. And there's a woman with shoulder-length brown hair, blue jacket, brown skirt, leaning against the front of Marks and Spencer. So they're looking at each other thinking, gosh, do you think this was God? Yeah. And they're saying to Sarah, you got most of the words, you've got to go and talk to her. And she's going, I can't. So they shove her over, she goes over, and she's so shy, she doesn't know what to say. So she just says, are you Joan? And the woman says, yes, do I know you? Yeah. So she says, she doesn't know what to say, so she just blurts out, God sent me. So Joan said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean God sent you? So she showed her the piece of paper, and she said, you know, we're from a church. We were just praying, and we felt God showed us these things and wanted us to come and talk to this person. And Joan said, well, that's me. And she said, yeah, I think it is. She said, well, what else did God say to you? And she said, well, I don't know, but there was something about a broken relationship and a baby. Does that make any sense? And Joan looked at her and started welling up with tears, and she just started crying, and she said, my boyfriend has got me pregnant, and now he's left me. I'm waiting here now to meet my mum, and we're going to go to the abortion clinic and have an abortion. And Sarah said, do you think, Joan, that maybe God doesn't want you to do that? And Joan said, I think maybe he doesn't. And they're both crying, you know, I mean, snot and mascara everywhere, yeah? And Sarah has the joy of actually leading Joan through a prayer to actually follow Jesus. And it's the first time she's ever done that with anybody, yeah? And while they're there and while they're crying, this elderly woman comes up, turns out to be Joan's mum. So Joan says, hey, mum, God sent these women to me. And her mum says, what do you mean? And she explains it all. And her mum says, she wasn't a believer, but she wasn't someone who knew about Jesus, but she kind of believed in God in general. So, and she said, I knew that this was wrong. I knew we shouldn't do it. I've been saying, God, if you're real, you've got to help us. So then Sarah led her mum to know Jesus as well. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So it's a great adventure, you know, walking with God. And he wants you not just to know, not just to become a little bit more stable in your life, not just to, you know, do some good things. He wants you to have an amazing, supernatural relationship with his Holy Spirit. He wants to come into you. He wants to work in you. He wants to transform you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to use you to touch the lives of others. I'm really excited that Crossroads is going on this journey because I think you're going to see all sorts of amazing things over the next few years. So we're going to finish now, but I just want to give you the opportunity to respond. And it may be that your response today is just to think, well, I just need to go away and process that. We've had a mad Englishman come. That's fine. I'll talk to some people, I'll think. That's an absolutely right response. That's absolutely fine. So in a minute, I'm going to ask some people to stand. But if you just need more time to process it, you just stay in your seat. That's absolutely fine. But there are some people that, as I've been speaking today, you know that God has been doing that same thing. He's been putting his finger on your heart and saying, this is for you and this is for now. And if that's the case, I think I should pray with you. And by the way, if you don't yet know Jesus, but you know that God's been talking to you about the Holy Spirit, what I'd say is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they come as a package. It's the Holy Spirit of Jesus. So saying yes to the Holy Spirit is the same as when you're going to, in order to do that, you basically have to say yes to Jesus too. So you can do both things at the same time if you want to. But if you already know Jesus and you know that God has been putting your, has been calling you today for more, or you don't yet know Jesus but you want more, I just ask you to stand now. I'm going to pray over you. So those people who know that it's for today, for you, just stand with me now. And let's pray together. I'm going to pray over you now. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are alive today. Thank you that you are supernatural and that you love us and that you want to be with us and communicate with us today. And we just stand here now. Those of us that are standing are saying, we're ready, Lord. And I thank you for those, everyone that's here. I thank you that those of us that are still sitting down, we're thinking about it. I pray that you'd lead us, lead those people and guide them and help them to understand these things. Those that are saying, yes, we're ready, I just ask, Holy Spirit, you'd come and fill them afresh now. Just come and fill them, Lord. We're just going to wait on you for a moment. Just allow him to touch you. He might give you a sense of his joy. You might find that you begin to have that sense of being led in a new way. Different people have different reactions. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you said you'd send your Holy Spirit to lead us and to teach us, to guide us and to be with us and to give us power, spiritual power. We are open to you. We want you to fill us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would also help us to hear you as you communicate with us so that we're not just doing one-way prayers, but we're able to hear the things you want to say to us and the things you want to say through us to other people. We pray that we'd be able to do that humbly, and in a way that doesn't hurt or manipulate people, Lord, but we want to engage the reality of your supernatural power. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
We will look to you, the author of our lives.
Let's sing it together.
We will look to you, the author of our lives. Whatever pleases you will be our path. We're trading what we have for what will last. We will seek your face and not your hands. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
Hey, let's thank Paul for being here. Man. Yeah. I'm jealous of his stories of God. I'm jealous of that sexy accent of his. We're just so glad he's been here. Hey, if you have felt an increased hunger for hearing God's voice, I just want to speak this blessing over you. May you find your fulfillment in him. Maybe he speak to you. Thanks for being here, guys. See you next time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for joining us today. It was great to be together. You know, next week is our last week in our Beyond series, so don't miss that. In just a couple of weeks is Easter. And if you want to host a group for Easter, I would love to help you. So shoot me an email at anywhere@crossroads.net. We'll send you best practices, tips, the whole thing to get you started. It's going to be great. Have a good week.